expression of praise and adoration to the great head of the church, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, to this honored and esteemed pastor, my friend and brother beloved, Pastor Darrell Nathan, and to you, the members of this august body. Today, I voice the same sentiments as those of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And speaking of gladness, let me just say to you that I am enamored with your energy level for worship this morning and your fervor for worship. Because I think the people of God ought to have joy when you don't have anything else. So we're thankful for some of our parishioners. I see two of our parishioners that are here from the Shiloh Church and our deacons, as Pastor has alluded to. And I want to thank him and to thank you for your invitation to come and to share with you. I told Pastor in the office it takes me 3 hours to finish a sermon. And I will try to be through in 2 hours today. He said, what about 30 minutes? And I said, what about 20 minutes? We solicit your prayers for this preaching endeavor. The book of Daniel, a very, very familiar passage of scripture, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Yeah. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto him, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Amen. Amen. Today we thank God for the reading of his holy, infallible, inerrant, and inexhaustible word. Yes. I want to challenge your hearts today from this topic relative to this text. Faith for the fire. Faith for the fire. I would venture to think that the majority of persons present this morning are familiar with the stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll is a simple fire safety technique taught to children, emergency service personnel, and industrial workers as a component of health and safety training. Primarily, it is a method to extinguish a fire on a person's clothes or hair without using conventional firefighting equipment. Besides extinguishing the fire, stop, drop, and roll is a compelling psychological tool, providing those in the fire situation, particularly children, with a routine that can be used to avoid panic. Amen. Stop, drop, and roll consists of three components. First of all, just stop. The fire victim must stand still, ceasing any movement, because fire has to have oxygen and heat and fuel. I hope somebody got that. Because sometimes when it's a little fire in the church, that's because somebody's giving it fuel. Somebody's giving it a little oxygen. Amen. Stand still, because movement will fan the flames. You got to be careful in your life when fire arises, because somebody is fanning the flames. But most importantly, you want to make sure that that somebody is not you. Drop. The victim must drop to the ground, lying down and covering their face with their hands to avoid facial injury. And then roll. Usually to find a rug or something to cover up and to roll in. And if not, just to roll to extinguish the fire. Is that all right? Most folk would agree that this technique is a technique that everybody should know. Would y'all help me for just a moment? Would you repeat after me? Please know, that this technique, will also work, when we find ourselves, engulfed, in the fires of life. I came by today to tell you something you already know, so I just want to remind you that in this life, routinely, you're going to be faced with the storms of life that we equate to the fires of life. It's unavoidable. It is inevitable. It's going to happen. But what I want you to know is that when you have faith for the fire, you can face the fire. I want to say that again. When you have faith for the fire, you can face the fire. Now, I think that's important that we understand that when we deal with having to step into the fires of life, it's important that we be willing to face it. Can I get you to help me say something? You cannot correct what you will not confront. One of the things that is inevitable in life is unavoidable. As sure as you are born, somebody is going to lie on you. Being lied on is one of the fires of life. But I have an analogy that might encourage your heart. Would you help me say wings?
Wings.
Would you help me say legs?
Legs.
Now you be encouraged when you have to face the fire of being lied on. Because a lie has wings. It'll fly all over town. But I want you to be encouraged.
Yes, sir.
Because lies have wings, but they don't have legs.
Yeah.
And they may fly all over town, but they can't stand. Oh, help me somebody. Another fire that you'll have to face sometime, you'll have to face the fire of gross exaggeration. Did you notice in that text that the king said, when these instruments play? Let me simplify it. When you hear some noise. Oh, y'all.
Jesus.
See, sometimes folk will exaggerate a situation by trying to make a whole lot of noise to make it look like they have more power. Oh, y'all ain't with me. Can I give you an analogy? Very rich man lived in a mansion. And in that mansion, he had a pool that could have been considered by many as a public pool. It was so deep on one end. And when that man would try to sleep at night, all he would hear was sounds of frogs. Ribbit. Ribbit. And so he called the pool man and said, you got to do something about these frogs. He said, I can't sleep at night. And so the man said, it's about 25 to 50 frogs down there keeping up all that noise. But it's going to cost you a lot to drain the pool. He said, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But I just don't want to waste my money. I'll try one more night. And that night, all that noise, ribbit, ribbit. The next morning, he called the pool man and said, drain that pool. And do you know when they drained that pool, it wasn't but two or three frogs. Ain't nobody gonna help me. Making all that noise. Sometimes all that noise in your life, that's your fire. It ain't but two or three frogs. One thing I want you to understand. Did you notice that nowhere in the text does it imply that the fire was ever extinguished? And I've heard teachers, Sunday school teachers, even pastors, say that when those boys went into the fire, that God took the heat out of the flame. Well, that's not true. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that it would heat it up seven times hotter than it ever been heated before. I submit to you that God did not take the heat out of the fire, but he conditioned the boys for the fire. And not only did he condition the boys for the fire, but he met them, and I'm saying that figuratively and not literally. When I say he met them, I'm using that as a figure of speech, because he was there all the time. But he met them in the fire. And this is what I'm going to tell you today. There's going to be some fire. God never says to you that you won't have some problems. But what God does tell you is that in the midst of your problems, you got a promise. And that is that in the midst of your problem, you got my presence. One cannot escape the inevitability of fires. The Bible refers to the fact that storms will come and that they will be in the life of every believer. Something came to my mind just then. If you are here and the devil is not bothering you. You don't have a problem. You are a problem. Story was told of two men that were duck hunting. And they had a servant. And he would collect the dead ducks. So they shot two ducks. One fell dead. The other ran away. When he ran away, their servant went out to retrieve him. While he was gone, they both claimed to be Christians. One said, "Man, I'm really going through it." Said, "The devil is really after me." Said, "Every time I look around, there's just one thing right after the other." He said that old proverbial saying, "If it ain't one thing." The other man said, "Well, nothing that never happens to me. I said, everything's just fine. I'm not having a problem." So about that time, the man was back with the duck that ran off. So the man that was having problems said, the man that said he wasn't having problems said, "Let me ask you a question. So we shot two ducks, didn't we?" He said, "Yes." He said, "One fell dead, didn't he?" He said, "Yes." "The other one ran off, didn't he?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, which one did the servant go to look for?" He said, "The one that ran off." He said, "He didn't bother that dead duck, did he?" He said, "No." He said, "Maybe that's why the devil ain't bothering you. You're already a dead duck." Well, all of that was maybe gloom and doom, but let me bring you some joy. We have established the fact that the fires of life will come. Yes. But can I give you some good news? In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Y'all ain't going to help me. "That in me you might have peace." I don't care what you're going through and in what level of intensity that you're going through it. You may agonize over the duration of it physically, but mentally and emotionally, you ought to be at peace with him, because the problem solver is on your side. Well, I can say this when we out, because I say it so much in Shiloh sometimes, I don't want to say it, but this would be your first time saying it, hearing it. I feel good about saying it. Can I say it? Don't you worry about going through the fire. Because when you're walking with Jesus, you're not walking by yourself. You got two bodyguards. Goodness on one side and mercy on the other. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Well, goodness and mercy. Goodness for my steps and mercy for my stumbles. I don't care who you are and how strong you are in the Lord. Every once in a while, if you don't crucify this flesh, you're going to act up. But I thank God for a Savior that's a shepherd. Because every once in a while I stray away. But when I stray away, he comes to find me. When I fall, sanctimoniously. Salvation-wise, I can't fall. But sanctimoniously, I can fall and do fall. But when I fall down, he picks me up and he carries me up the rough side of the mountain. He said, "In this world, you'll have tribulation." Can I paraphrase? In this world, you'll go through the fire. But he says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Is that all right? Now let me tell you something. Three quick things. Fire touches serving one. If you embark upon a life of ministry, get ready. Some people think that the moment that they accept Jesus Christ, that they're going to have the pie in the sky. That is not true. Amen. The moment that you accept Jesus does not exempt you from trouble. It practically guarantees it. Is that all right? And some have asked, why? Why me? That older people say it, and I don't argue with them. I just have, you know, a mind. They said you're not supposed to question God. But I got a problem with that. Because he's the only one with the perfect solution. See, when I deal with humanity, I have to deal with truth in three different aspects. I have to deal with truth, relative truth. I have to deal with truth, subjective truth. And then I have to deal with truth, absolute truth. So when I'm in Texas, I can't go to the casino. Don't y'all start nothing. In Texas, it's against the law to have a house of gambling or to be in your house and gamble. Y'all ain't with me. But I can drive 70 miles north to Windstar. And as soon as I cross that state line, I'm not guilty of a crime anymore. That's what you call relative truth. Oh, y'all ain't with me. Now, 3.5 hours to Shreveport in Louisiana. As soon as I cross that state line, I'm not guilty anymore. Well, yes, I am. Because now I have a subjective situation. My wife say I can't go. What I need is an absolute truth. I need a truth that's going to be good in Texas. I need a truth that's going to be good in Oklahoma. And I need a truth that's going to be good in Louisiana. And folk worried about bylaws and constitutions in the church when all we need is the absolute truth. Because if you won't obey this, you're not going to obey no bylaws. The Apostle Paul, he had a fire in his life. It was called a thorn in the flesh. But I got news for you. Don't be afraid to face your fire. Because God bought your fire.
Come on, glory.
To teach you some lessons. Yes, sir. Yes. There's some life lessons in your fire.
Yes, sir.
Somebody help me say destroy.
Destroy.
Somebody help me say develop.
Develop.
I want you to know that God doesn't take you to your fire and through your fire to destroy you.
All right.
But he takes you there to develop you.
Yeah.
He also takes you there to be a blessing and to be an instrument in somebody else's blessing and deliverance. Is that all right? I want you to consider Job. God didn't let the things happen to Job that happened. To watch him squirm and suffer and to burn, but to use him for his glory.
Yes.
To prove that God is still able.
Yes.
And that he still sits on the throne.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody talking about politics. I said euphemistically. Everybody talking about politics. It doesn't really matter who's in the White House.
Right.
As long as you know who's governing your house.
Yes.
Is that all right?
All right.
My 20 minutes is up. But don't be afraid to go through the fire. The fire won't damage you. The fire won't take away from your character. Can I make an illustration? If I had, y'all gonna help me? You gonna help me, doctor? You got to hit it first, I'm tone deaf. Yeah, if I had $100 bill and I ask who all in here needed that $100 bill, every one that needed it would raise their hand. Can I get a witness? If I took that same $100 bill and crumpled it up and I asked who all needed, everybody in here that needed it would still lift your hand. If I dropped it all crumpled up and stepped on it and picked it up again and say, whoever needed it, raise your hand. You would still, if you needed it, raise your hand. If I threw it back on the ground, crumpled up, stepped on, and took some dirt and threw it on top of it, if I picked it back up and said, who needs it? If you needed it, you would still raise your hand. The reason you would, because even crumpled up, even stepped on, even with dirt on it, it's still $100 bill, and it never lost its value. Can I get a witness? I don't mind going through the fire because I've been bought with a price. When I come out of the fire, I've never lost my value. I'm still worthy because God made me worthy by his grace, by his love, and by his mercy. There was a man whose house caught on fire and he lost all his valuables. Y'all don't hear me. He lost all his valuables. His family said, that all he lost. But the man had a smile. He had a smile on his face. They said, why are you smiling? He said, well, he said, in that house, I lost my valuables. But in that house, I had a lot of mistakes. And now that the house is burned up, I can start all over. And that's what I want to tell you. Before I met Jesus, I made a lot of mistakes. And since I made him, I made a lot of mistakes. But every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Anybody know him? Won't he touch your heart? Won't he wipe tears from your weeping eyes? Won't he pick you up? Won't he give you joy? Won't he do it
know he's all right. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Put running in my feet, clapping in my hand, hallelujah in my mouth. God. Oh, God. Oh.